What is up, everybody? Episode 2 of the Dolphins Collective. And I feel like today we have nothing to talk about. There's nothing. We have to come up with ideas. We have to pull something out of our butt. No news. No Dolphin news at all. No one got called out. No, nothing bad happened. There's no news today.
I'm just hoping that stays under the fan base.
We gotta start with that.
So much going on. Nobody heard that.
But let's all right. We'll talk about the big elephant in the room. We'll talk about Jalen Ramsey. We'll start with TD. What's your thoughts on the whole situation? What do you think will go down, all that stuff with the Jalen Ramsey situation?
Oh man, just off the bat. All right. Nope,
I'm right into it.
Well, you're not ready, TD? Come on, man.
I'm gonna be honest with you, Alan.
I dropped back, I threw him the pass, yeah. He dropped it, but now it's my fault. You see what's happening?
No. I'm a little thrown off because I'm a little angry. I'm gonna be honest, I'm angry today because I found out what the real issue is with the Miami Dolphins overall. We got someone in the media who hates on our general manager, and I don't like it. I really don't like it. He hates our general manager, and that's a problem for me. But we'll address that later. But listen, this whole Jalen Ramsey thing, I think Omar put it best on Twitter today. We probably have more questions than we have answers. Mm-hmm. Because Greer's being very cryptic. Something's going on, but he's not really telling us exactly what it is. If Ramsey is on the trade block now and it had nothing to do with money, and if he's on the trade block right now and he didn't request the trade, then why are we trading Jalen Ramsey? There isn't a significant cap, you know, savings or implication in that regard. It absolutely makes no sense, which leaves a lot of us out here wondering what's really going on and what's not being said to us and what's happening. The good thing is Omar told us before the show that he has the answer he's going to give us tonight. So we'll get into
no
that.
Pressure, though, Omar.
But listen, I have my own theories, and I could be totally wrong, and I know I don't want to be, like, speculating things, but I think there probably is some tension within the locker room in relation to Mike McDaniel. I'm just trying my very best to put two and two together. There's certain things that were said today that caught my attention. One of the things Chris Greer vaguely talked about, and a lot of people glanced over this, the fact of needing more tough players – who can be coached, who like just throwing that out there was
handle
like
criticism. Handle criticism.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It could take criticism.
That's
and I'm and I try my best not to relate that to Ramsey. I try, but I'm trying to find out why we're trading Ramsey, and it makes me feel like maybe there's a tension there where here's my theory. Mike McDaniel's been the good cop for so long that when things aren't going well, he had to change and start to become the bad cop. But you're not going to get respect from players because you've been the good cop too long. Mm-hmm. And I think that could very well be playing into this Ramsey situation because he start calling the veterans and the leaders out at the end of last year, from my understanding. And I don't think that sat well with people who see you being passive with everybody all year. And all of a sudden now you want to play hardball. And I could be wrong, but we don't have answers, mm-hmm. But something's brewing in that locker room. And for Chris Greer to say what he said about, you know, need this generation can't take, you know, the hard coaching or whatever he said, that stood out to me because why did you need to really add that? That tells you the aura of the team and what's really going on. They're trying to correct some stuff and people aren't taking it like they want them to, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think that's just a Dolphins issue though. I think that is a league-wide issue. And not just an NFL issue. I think that's a professional sports issue. That's a college issue with NIL. This is I remember Adam Gase sat me down and talked to me about it because I had so many damn feuds on the team with Jordan Phillips and the little tiny receiver, Jakeem Grant. And he was just, yeah. I would have squared up with him now.
Who are you trying to kid?
Jakeem?
Yeah.
Jakeem, I could have fit him in my pocket. That's, and he said something to me that I really had, and that was in the era when I stopped putting up video. I used to do video before everybody else did video and put up clips. I used to put up clips of people making plays and making mistakes. I didn't do it so much after that period. I did it on isolated instances. Like, I remember when Teron Armstead, the one game he had that was just like, oh my God, like, what the hell happened? I put something out there and Teron actually apologized for his performance and said it won't happen again. But this, that's an old school era player. This era, you call them out, you highlight their mistakes, and it's not okay. You call them lazy, it's not okay. You say they're not focused on playing football like Cam Smith, it's not okay. And so Greer brought up something that I know behind the scenes is not just an issue in Miami, it's an issue everywhere.
Yeah, and you know, I remember some of the, you know, like you said, Jordan Phillips, I feel like that was your biggest thing, is you're honest with these players. You're in the locker room, you're going to tell them things, and it's different. Alan, what did you take from?
Well, okay, the one thing is, like Diddy said, why are the Dolphins trading Jalen Ramsey? And Chris Greer said he didn't request a trade. No, but he agreed that it would be the best course of action for both sides to explore a trade. I mean, we are having fun with words over here. Number two, once that's out there, because Greer was asked about the possibility, could you see a scenario where Ramsey's on the team in 2025? And he kind of like, if it gets to that point, we'll see. Well, to quote the movie Juno, and I don't know if who's going to get the reference, that's one doodle that can be undid.
Wait a minute. We could put Tyreek back in the tube. We could put Jalen back in the tube.
But with Tyreek, there's – wait, because he said, I'm out, bro. We all knew – Omar, we all knew when he said it, dude is talking out of frustration, the emotions are getting the best of him. He doesn't really mean it.
Jalen hasn't said anything.
That's true.
Yeah, but you also know Jalen is a different kind of dude, and he's very, very thoughtful, very, very meticulous.
Very calculated.
Calculated, everything is planned. So, no, I don't think that – by the way, thank you, Dougley, for getting the reference. TD and Omar were like – what's he talking about? The movie called Juno, like, long time ago. Anyway.
Enjoy.
Sorry?
I think I've seen
Enjoy,
it.
I have no idea.
I don't know the reference.
So those are the two things that stuck out to me. And the other part of it is, what can you get for him?
Yeah, and that's the biggest thing with this whole Ramsey situation is, you know, what are they going to do? You can't trade for him now because you got to deal with the dead cap. You got to deal with the negative cap unless you find somebody who will work with that, kind of like what we did with Ryan Tannehill. We took a lesser draft pick for the cap compensation, blah, blah, blah. But this whole – my problem is, and I talked about this last Saturday, is they don't seem like they're working – as if they have a fire under their butts. It seems like they are very, like Greer and McDaniel, it seems like they are working very comfortably. Like there doesn't seem like an urgency from my side of things.
What do you want them to do, act desperately?
Well, be a little bit more aggressive in free agency. You know, you can create more cap space. Why not? Why haven't they given Sealer a contract extension? Like that doesn't
necessarily create cap space. If I'm Zach Sealer, I want to be being paid twice what I'm being paid now. Why do you think I'm taking a pay cut?
You can structure it so the cap number goes down in the first year, Omar.
Yeah, I understand that, but if Sealer's making $8.5 million,
why would he restructure?
I'm wanting 17.
We all know they can finagle that money.
Yeah, but it's going up. The number's going up, though.
Tony, what I'm saying is they could an extension with more money.
They could be more aggressive. Like they come out here and they tell us, oh, we're going to double down with the trenches. They never mentioned trenches. We're going to double down with the offensive line. They signed one starter in James Daniels. That was it. And they bring back Liam Eichenberg. Like, it just seems like – and they got younger, which is a positive. Like, last year, I think they were the 10th oldest, and now they're the 10th youngest. So they
– what do you mean, offensive line or team?
Offensive line. Oh. It's now, like, one of the youngest, and it doesn't seem like they are – trying to make moves.
But I don't understand. What do you want them to do on the O-line? They already have Patrick Paul.
We don't have left guard right now.
On these topics. I disagree with everybody, including my colleague Barry Jackson. Like,
how dare you?
You could have.
He's a
trick. You could have borrowed money from Jordan Brooks. You could have borrowed money from Tua Tagovailoa. But there are consequences to doing all
that. Oh, don't touch Tua. Don't.
Yeah, I mean, you want $20 million. Go get it from Tua.
Yeah.
It's sitting there waiting for you to take it. But obviously, nobody wants to touch that. Brooks, I think there was like another $5, $6 million. But it, realistically speaking, when you see all these offensive linemen get overpaid, why are you going to go that route when you already have bad books in the first place? This seems like a situation where this team is trying to clean up their bad books. Now, is it the right timing? No. But is it the right time to trade Jalen Ramsey, arguably your second, third, fourth best player on your team? Like, this just looks crazy.
Exactly. And that's where my thought process is like, they look like they're cleaning up the books for 2026 and they're doing the things for 2026. Who says they're going to be here in 2026 unless they feel like they're going to be here in 20? Like, that's why, like, you're trading Ramsey and then you're doing this and you're moving on from here.
There's no way that trading Ramsey can make you a better team. Tell me how it doesn't.
And trading Ramsey has nothing to do with 2026 because he didn't have the guarantees going into next year. So that's the point. It has nothing to do with the future. This trading Ramsey situation is something where there's some clash here. There's some issue here. Yeah. This has nothing to do with money or the books or anything. This is purely something's going on, difference of opinion, and whatever that is, it's non-repairable. Now, that's what's happening.
Could it be a situation where they are thinking, you know, we might not be that competitive this year, and Ramsey is like, I'm not waiting around for that.
Or Ramsey just wants out.
Yeah.
But why? I feel like that's the legit thing.
Why? Because he doesn't believe that they're going to be a good team. I don't think that's a secret.
He's been here, 2 years now, and he's seen, you know, writing on the wall?
Somebody could say, way to be a team player when we redid your contract. Not once. I know, Omar, you're Mr. Player Empowerment, but you redid his contract after you got him in a trade. Not once, but twice. I will think that should buy you some loyalty.
That's fire. Sorry, Omar.
Stab me in the heart with my player. Yes, my player empowerment has blown up in my face as it has in Mike McDaniel's face. I'm learning a lesson. You don't empower players. You keep your foot on their necks. Unfortunately, business. When you empower players, things like this happen.
Big Sanjo, baby.
And everybody got empowered last offseason, and that's the problem. That's why we're paying for it now.
And you saw it. You completely – and now McDaniel is trying to, you know, put the – as Omar Kelly says, and I love the saying, he's trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and he already squeezed it all out. So there's like – all right, now I'm going to be Mr. Tough Guy. Listen, if you don't come,
that's not fair. That's not true. We have no evidence that Mike McDaniel is trying to be Mr. Tough Guy. I don't think it's in him. I don't think it's in his DNA. I don't. Poop, you agree or disagree?
No, absolutely. I mean, he needs to say that when he's talking to the media, but that's not who he is.
So how did he address the tardies?
Finding players. And
he acknowledged, you know, that really didn't have the effect.
Let me say this.
Correct.
I have asked players and I have asked around whether or not this was tardiness was a major issue or a big problem. And I think it wasn't as much of a problem as the media has made it out to be. What came to the forefront is we spoke to them right after Mike McDaniel addressed it. And part of the conversation was we collectively started working all together much later as a team, as a unit, as an offense, much later than we did the previous year when we were the number one ranked offense. And that's because Tua was skipping OTAs and this guy's skipping OTAs and this guy's not working out and this guy's practicing and this guy's rehabbing. And collectively, it led to a lack of cohesion and a lack of chemistry. And the first week of the regular season is the first time they had all of their players on the field together. Wow. Whether it was Tyreek's injury, Waddle's injury, Jalu's injury, not even Armstead. Not
he was nobody, rested.
Yeah. Armstead hadn't practiced in 4 years. So that led to the hindrance of the offense. And then the next week, they lose Tua. Mm. And then 4 weeks of trying to develop some sort of continuity with the quarterback, and it was just a hodgepodge of mistakes. Like, we could just look at the team last year. Like, I've always heard this, and this is probably the best example of this. I've always heard that just because you had great success 1 year and you bring a lot of people back, that doesn't mean you're going to have the same team, because they're different components, different elements, different bonds, different relationships. Like, that team last year, they didn't have fun one time the entire season. Not one. Not from the season opener in Jacksonville, where they start with the trauma, Tyreek getting arrested, to the Tua injury in the Buffalo, the struggles without Tua, the comeback, losing to Arizona. They didn't go to Buffalo, have that game, then lose the game. I don't think they enjoyed themselves the entire season. Do we even remember any touchdown celebrations?
No, there was none. No, nothing.
They barely got in the end zone.
But come on, Titty. The thing Omar said that today is that they went on that spending spree to reward players for good performances in the past. Omar, you're shaking your head. That's what.
No. You're right. It was the wrong thing to do.
Correct. And I said that at the time. I mean, ad nauseum, I was blue in the face, and that it was egregious enough to where Jalen Ramsey had like 2 or 3 years left on his contract. You did need to touch his contract. Tyreek had 3 years left on his contract.
This year would have been a fake year. This year would have been a ridiculous year. He would have been released.
The Dolphins had control over Tyreek for the next 3 years. You basically did him a solid because he wanted to get paid. You didn't have to. Even Mike McDaniel, who we all like and love and all that, had 2 years left on his contract. How often do you see a head coach getting an extension with 2 years left in his contract when he hasn't won a playoff game?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the whole thing, is they were rewarded as if they had won the Super Bowl or gone to the AFC Championship game.
Or achieved the playoff.
Either was the case. Sorry?
Stephen Ross was dancing too much, doing the waddle and stuff at games. And I think that's what got him caught up. He wasn't thinking about, like, the failure of it all. Every time I saw him in a game, against a bad team most of the time, and he's just dancing because we're having fun and we may win, you can just see on his face, I'm satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Now, at the end of the season, he may talk the talk of we expect more, but he was having too much fun every single time you see him on TV at a game, and I think that's part of the problem.
We'd see him after the game. He wasn't having fun. He wasn't enjoying himself.
During the game when they score touchdowns and they show him they're in a suite. TD, what do you want him to do? They just scored a touchdown. You want him to be like, oh, no, we're not
going to. No.
That's a valid point.
No. See, the difference is, like, he'll do that. He'll go in the locker room. He'll give McDaniel the game ball. He'll basically – he wants to reaffirm his guys. I love chemistry. I value that. So even if they're screwed – it's almost like when he said what he said in that letter about not moving on from them this all season. It's almost like he was basically saying, even though we're losing, I probably can deal with this for 10 years because I value cohesiveness.
No. He said status quo will not do.
It won't do, but he was like, I value cohesiveness. You know, failures happen.
No.
But that doesn't mean you give up on it right away.
No. I think a lot of Steve Ross's issue is the trauma and experiences that he's had hiring people. And I wrote a column about this months ago, and it's been a traumatic experience, this man trying to hire people.
Harbaugh
to Jeff Fisher to having to settle for Dennis Hickey, and then Tannenbaum snaking Hickey, and then Adam Gase, Joe Philbin, Brian Flores. Like, y'all act like this hasn't been a traumatic experience for this man when he's got to hire people. It's been – don't act like he's ever just knocked it out the park. He has been traumatized. I forgot about the Sean Payton courtship y'all act like this is easy for him.
But doesn't that say something about the people around him that's advising him in these decisions, that they keep on steering him wrong?
Who's advising him though?
I don't. So is he making this whole decision? Is he just? I mean, I don't know.
That's the big fat question mark. No one knows.
I've known like three cycles of advisors, and at this point, I can tell you, the people that are around him say he ain't listening to me. So, you know, you can talk about whoever's around him. They're like, he doing what he want to do. And I do believe the trauma of hiring. Think about all his hiring experiences. Think about all of it. It has been traumatic.
He wasn't there for Tomlin, right? That whole Tomlin.
No, situation? That wasn't him. No.
That was okay.
Uncle Wayne. Uncle Wayne.
Because that was bad.
No, it wasn't bad because they hired exactly who they wanted, even though he had a bad first interview. They gave him a second interview. And the second guy just turned out, you know. He was a little too hip hop.
That's where the bad part is.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little issue there. That was a review after the fact. You know, they were a little bit. They weren't comfortable with hiring a coach with rims on his car. It is what it is. It's
one Super Bowl.
Wow.
I mean, hindsight, he turned out to be a pretty good coach. They didn't know that.
Back to the Ramsey situation. Do you think? All right, two questions. One. When will it happen? Do you think it'll happen before the draft, or do you think it'll happen after? Which I think we all can agree will probably happen after because of the money. Two, what will they get for it? I'll start with Alan.
Why are you starting with me when I'm looking at something?
Because out? I went to TD.
Oh, you're not ready?
You're not ready? I'm ready, TD. I'm a pro. I'm a grizzled veteran.
Let me start. Let me throw a hat.
Are you going to do me like that?
No, I didn't know you were ready. I was getting by.
Go for it. I will do it. Go ahead.
You at the top, Omar.
Let me just throw a Hail Mary pass out there, okay? Whoever's interested, because I've narrowed down the teams in terms of the cap space and teams that need cornerback. Let's just say the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
They have interest in Jalen Ramsey. Throw me a fourth, because you're not going to get what you spent for him. You spent a third. You're never going to get what more than you spent. Throw me a fourth. Do me a solid. Throw me a fourth. I send you Channing Tindall. Hear me out. You take Channing Tindall for a fourth, and then later, after June 1st, I trade you Jalen Ramsey for a seventh. Just throwing it out there.
See, now, does that happen, though? Does things like that happen?
Hey, we can get real creative. Because you know you can't trade him before June 1st.
No, but yeah, technically, you physically can't. No.
Technically, you could trade anybody for anything. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh.
Points for creativity, that's for sure. I'm going to throw another one out there just for you. Because I think the Las Vegas Raiders is the team to watch here.
Okay.
And earlier in the offseason, it was reported that they were interested in trading Michael Mayer.
Yes. He was
a third-year tight end from Notre Dame.
I like where you're going with this.
Who was a good player. I think it helps both teams' caps. I have to look up Michael Mayer. Correct. He's on his rookie deal as a third or fourth round pick, so he's not expensive. So maybe that as a June 1st move.
Yeah, it's a $2.5 million cap hit this year, $2.9 next year, so it's nothing.
And he comes on the roster, and he's the second best tight end on the team.
Yeah, I've been clamoring for the Dolphins to pull off some type of trade for him. Send one of the fours, send one of the fives before Ramsey, this whole Ramsey situation happened.
So we're looking for the two tight end set with Jonnu and
And by the way, get the irony, not enough irony is the right word, but you would trade Ramsey for a tight end after acquiring him for a pick and a tight end.
Because we send
there's some baggage. There's some suitcases there.
Where?
Why he didn't play last season. He didn't play much last season. It has more to, it has stuff to do with off the field stuff. And
even cheaper.
No. Yeah. Everybody in the league knows what's going on. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I do agree with Poupart. He's a good player. He's a good fit here. And I also think that a player makes some sense, not just a pick.
Yeah, especially if it's after June 1st. It makes more sense for now.
Somebody threw out, I'm sorry, Doug. Yeah. Somebody threw out Jaire Alexander as a possibility, and to me, it's like,
No.
Talk about injury after injury after injury.
Well, I'm gonna be nice because you know I don't want to be on enemy list like somebody else.
But here's the thing: you have to consider that Jalen Ramsey isn't just going anywhere.
Yeah, like, exactly.
You act like this guy hasn't cherry picked his situations his entire career.
He'd go to Vegas.
Yeah, probably.
TD, what do you think?
If the Saints can figure out a way to get some money. I'm packaging Tua and Ramsey for the 8th overall. on Shadur to fall. But anyway, I think Minnesota.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
I think Minnesota would be a good team for Ramsey. They can compete. He can help them with what they're trying to do. Remember, they had some bad misfortune last year at the quarterback position. They drafted two back-to-back in the early rounds. One of them passed away tragically. The other one got hurt. And they end up bringing in, what's his name? The old guy from New England.
Gilmore.
Yeah. They end up bringing in Gilmore, and he played amazing last year, shockingly. But they're still looking for help in that area. I think Minnesota would be a perfect fit for a mid round pick. Like you said, maybe even they want it so bad because they see that they have a contending team. They'll give a fourth. So I got Minnesota.
Yeah, it's definitely for anyone in the chat wondering why do we keep saying it's definitely going to be, you know, after June 1st. If they try to trade him now, it's a negative 12-point roundup $6 million cap hit with a dead cap of $29.2 million. So it's a lot of money that's going to come off the cap that they desperately need. So yeah, I think we're pretty much all in an agreement that it's definitely going to be after. It's going to be June 1st, like Omar with his fantastic scenario of sending Tindall. If it works, it works. You know, I'm not going to say no to it. But yeah, I think, you know, you probably get a fourth or a fifth, like, you know, we can all agree. But like Omar has made a very good point that he's going to pick and choose, and he's probably not going to want to go to a team like the Panthers or the Saints or something like that.
I don't think you want to go to Minnesota. Jalen Ramsey's a warm weather guy.
Yeah.
Tampa? Tampa looks like a good fit. Also,
the Vikings play outside.
They play in the dome, but I'm taking
my. They got to play in Green Bay.
Just in general,
It's not about where you play; it's about where you live and
the location.
Jalen Ramsey ain't going to Detroit.
I'll give you another one. Ooh. Arizona Cardinals.
I heard that one. Calais might try to bring him over.
But are they really a legitimate contender?
Calais thinks so.
They made some moves though, Omar, this offseason. They actually made some investment, so I don't believe in Kyler. I think he's good enough not to be good enough, so I don't care. But yeah, they made some moves.
That's very good. Here's my thing with Calais. I think Calais saw what the Dolphins were offering money wise, and saw what the Ravens were offering money wise, and then he was like, "I just want to end my career where he started." I could be wrong, but that's where I saw it. Like, I'm gonna get paid, and I'll end where I started. Why not? Like,
I don't think where Calais signed is gonna be the final destination, because I think a team that's contending, if the Cardinals
trade for midseason,
yeah, absolutely. I mean, from what I read recently or something, I don't know where I read this, like there were like 4 or 5 offers on the table for Calais. I knew at the time that was happening, and they made an agreement and a deal to stay. And Mike definitely, that was a time when Sealer was hurt, and if you traded Calais, you would absolutely pull the plug on the season and send the wrong message to the team. So I understand why you didn't trade him. And it's not realistically, it's not like I think the highest offer was like a 4th round pick. Let's be real. What is Chris Greer doing with a 4th round pick?
He's hit on some. Like, I think Brandon Jones was a 4th. I know. Wasn't Andrew Van Ginkle a 5th?
Yes, he was.
So he's hit some gems.
Devon Godshaw was a 5th.
You're right. Okay.
So,
Jakeem Grant was his first 6th.
Yeah, but did Flores pick some of these guys y'all name? Did Greer pick some of these guys you naming, or was it Flores?
Like I think Jakeem was like, probably from what I heard, Jakeem was the player that Steve Ross had advocated the most for. And like the only player he's ever really like put his foot down and like kind of demanded that the team drafted. Yes, this is true. Why? I don't know.
I was about to ask you that.
Yeah. it was some story. How do you not remember this? Somebody he knew Jakeem and like vouched for him. They became upset. He became obsessed with his personality, thought he was going to be such a difference maker. Jakeem is, that was back in the days when Steve Ross used to talk to us after the draft. Jakeem is like one of the first players that he really advocated for.
Okay. Yeah. It's a good pick. It's a good six-round pick.
I mean, it's a six-round pick. Like,
best returner in Dolphin history.
Was he? He's better than Ginn? I just remember that Jets game where Ginn had two returns for a touchdown.
That Jets game was sick. They won like 30 to 25. They had like 104 yards of offense. Exactly.
Really. Before we jump into more stuff, we got 424 people watching us right now. We only got 100 likes, so hit the like button. It takes 2 seconds. Then you don't have to do it for the rest of the stream.
People, come on, gotta give some of these.
Oh, the crap!
It's not updated. I hate when he does that.
We'll make it a party. Come on, here we go. Make it a party. Here we go.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my goodness.
By the way,
everybody keeps saying I need to update, but it's.
I had somebody tell me to stop being a baby for doing that, and I was like, "Sure, tell me what to do. That'll work."
Oh my goodness. Let's talk a little bit about what Greer said. Some of the things he said, it's interesting. The one I want to talk about, and it's bothering me, and it's been bothering me, and I'm probably big baby about it, is Liam Eichenberg. I think he's going
to. He basically said Liam's a backup. Come on, what do you want him to say?
Competing for a job.
I'm telling you, September, whoever we're playing week one, Liam Eichenberg is going to be starting left guard, and I'm going to lose my mind because they did the same thing with Jack Driscoll. Tell me he's not starting, Omar. Make me feel better and tell me Liam's not starting.
I cannot tell you that.
God.
I can't, until they select somebody in the first round, and I do believe that they have to go offensive lineman in the first round.
Yeah.
They will. I think today he told you they're taking a defensive tackle.
No, I think
they're taking a defensive tackle.
When did he say that?
He basically tell me Patrick Paul is starting at left tackle.
Yeah.
And you're telling me Austin Jackson is your leader. And you're telling me your right tackle, you love what you did. They don't have a problem. Yeah, you're right, guard. Sorry. They don't have a problem with the center. The only glaring hole on the O line is left guard, and I don't think they're investing in that at 13.
What he said.
Okay. All right. Okay. That's fine. That's fine. Now that we've gotten rid of all our starting cornerbacks, it's possible that cornerback could be a top of the
agenda. Will Johnson, yeah.
Things to
address. He explained that today. What? It's time for Cam Smith to step up. No more holding his hand. No. It's time. No, listen, we're going Storm Duck, Cam Smith, and
that doesn't mean they're going to start when show me something here, or because
there's no way that this team is banking on Cam Smith to say
you can't. There's no way that Weaver's going to sit there and be like, I approve that message.
Weaver benched him.
I think before he got hurt, he got benched. I know he denied this today, but I'm telling you, man, I think they tank it.
No,
I think they're tanking.
You're gonna tank your $50 million quarterback, really, TD? Come on.
You know what? They're moving on from him. That's what they're telling me. Not now.
Just started.
No. Alan, the reason why I feel that way about it, Tua's contract is irrelevant at this point because they didn't even move the money. They're not worried about that. I personally feel like they're doing Tua dirty. They're just making sure that they don't make it look like they're the bad person. They're tanking on Tua, not tanking for Tua anymore. They're tanking on Tua because I think that they're going to make the roster just as it was when Flores was here and say, good luck, McDaniel, do something with it.
And Tyreek will be great already.
No, because you're going to have – we had a – I'm starting to feel like we had a better defense in the past. Now the offense is just better. It's just a trade-off. Mm-hmm. This team is getting closer to the Flores team. It's just the offense is more talented now than the defense. And it was flipped when Flores was here. And I think that that's how they're going in the war. And I think that they're like, hey, if you can make something happen out of this, make it happen. But this is going to set us up next year to do anything we want to do. We can get off of that contract and everything.
If you're Mike McDaniel, you're playing and you're – okay, I will only say Mike McDaniel. If you're Mike McDaniel, you're coaching for your survival, coaching for your future, coaching for your next job. I'm not interested. Now, could you get whacked in October? Yeah. But, you know, then if you're Anthony Weaver, you're playing for your future head coach position and opportunity. Like, everybody – And that's a column I wrote in the Miami Herald. This is survival mode. Mm-hmm. Like Jalen Ramsey was just like, let me off this island. Let me get my life vest on and jump off the ship before it goes under. I really just think that, you know, everybody, you know, me and Poupard's been here longer than I've been here. I have seen so many regimes and eras go down. And then it always goes down. The first thing you see is this. Like, you know, blame shifting. Mm-hmm. And that's what's going on right now. And people jumping off and trying to save their necks and save their careers. And I don't fault them because if, as I've always said, and Poupard knows I fully believe in this, those are 53 players and those are 53 individual franchises. And they got to do what's in the best interest of their franchise. For Jalen Ramsey, mm-hmm. was to get the hell up out of here and try to finish out his Hall of Fame career somewhere else. For Tyreek, it was to try to get the hell up out of here, but he got blocked.
He didn't want to get out of there.
Tyreek don't want to get out of here, especially now.
Do you guys think, to the beat writers, because you guys have more of a finger on the pulse, do you think a lot of the free agents that left were because of that, or do you think it was more of a Dolphins situation, like a front office, like we're going to go in a different direction?
Well, Dolphins weren't going to pay up for Javon Holland. He literally said himself.
Kendall Lamb and all those guys, do you think they were like, no, we're not going back to that?
No, I don't think Kendall Lamb was coming back here no matter what. So
Kendall Lamb is a serviceable backup. Let's not, with all due respect, I like him as much as you do, Omar, maybe not quite as much, but let's not pretend like the Dolphins were going to bang down doors to make sure they brought him back.
Yeah.
Can I just go back to the previous point? For me, it's cornerback and DT in the first round. And I don't think there's a close third.
Yeah.
And who else did they really lose of massive significance other than Javon Holland? Calais, we've already addressed. Lose anybody else of me
right now when you look at, because I did my draft needs and I put defensive tackle number one because of how many and how many defensive linemen they need right now, because they have one starter and, you know, a lot of people, you say 3-4 defense, oh, they only need two more. You need a rotation, like you need guys in there, like you need more than just, so I'm thinking like you need four more at least defensive linemen, so I'm all for that. And then I put guard third because of not only who's still available in free agency, like, you know, Reisner and Scherf and Hernandez and stuff, but like you have like Jonah Savannah, who you could get in the second round. Like he could be a really good left guard, then even potentially left tackle if the Patrick Paul situation falls through. So, you know, I think first pick is going to be Jonah. Will Johnson or DT.
Or Barron or Grant or Derek Harmon or...
There's a lot of options at the DT position.
I think they trade back for Harmon.
You can trade down and still get one of those guys.
Yeah, I kind of sense and heard like the trade. Yeah, we'd love to trade down. But I hear that from Greer every year.
Like if there's a situation, which I don't think Janty will be there. I think he's going to the Raiders or the Cowboys. But if there's a situation where, and we talked about this last week, and I'm not going to try to start this whole conversation again, but like Shador's there or... you know, the tight end's there or one of these guys is there that the Dolphins don't necessarily need, that is a perfect situation to trade back and take Harmon. Because I don't think Harmon's a 13 range pick. I think he's more of the 20s. And
you like Harmon?
I do. I like his speed and I, on top of his build. But I don't like him at 13. Like, I take Grant at 13. I ain't taking Harmon.
That Boise State game, that was a turnoff.
Hold on, hold on. No matter what we do in the first, second round, y'all think we win in 11 games this year?
You don't know.
You're still going to pick players.
I'm just asking.
I will say this.
With everything going on.
There was a year that we went into the season and we had like the hardest schedule. And then when the season was over, we had the easiest. It was the COVID year where we went and faced the Saints and they were just like decimated. Anything could happen. Now, will they? Probably not. But I'm not going to sit here and say, no, they definitely can't win 10, 11 games. Because you know what? The Jets are the Jets. Like, let's all be honest with ourselves right now. Like, they might jet this whole thing up. And they're really going to, you know, trust in Justin Fields and think he's their savior. So
you think we got a better roster than the Jets?
No, but the Jets are the Jets.
That's true. Okay. Well, I'm with that. But I'm just saying. Well, that roster, though.
Well, that roster didn't do nothing with Aaron Rodgers. So
exactly.
I get it. But a lot of people believe that's just purely coaching.
Okay.
First time head coach now. You got to see if he's going to turn the table for them.
I like former player coaches. I love them. I'm all about player empowerment, as Poupart knows.
Yes, you are. You look, who was the coach of the year?
Huh? What did you say?
Wasn't Kevin O'Connell a player? Wasn't Kevin O'Connell the coach of the year?
Was he the coach O'Connell of the year?
Yeah, KLC.
I think he was,
yeah. He played for Bill Belichick. Quarterback.
Hey, real quick, though, Omar, I did want to ask a question about something you said earlier. You know, you said that everybody's really going to be coaching for their job or, you know, trying to prove something. But if things don't go well and McDaniel doesn't break that record over the last 20 years of making it to 3.5 years, could we see Anthony Weaver taking the head coaching job, being put in that position?
Absolutely.
I think he'll be the
and moving forward?
No.
Just interim and gone.
I don't want to prognosticate what Steve Ross is going to do, but you got to hit a home run. You got to go trade for Tomlin. You got to go try to get Gruden something because you clearly you running out of time. You running out of time. You running out of patience. You running out of confidence and conviction in the organization. I think Gruden's had a long enough timeout in the NFL for, you know, saying some bad words and
he got pow-powed.
Yeah, he got pow-powed. He's making his way back on the Bleacher Report scene. I think Tomlin, you know, it puzzles my mind how organization is just that, or the Steelers organization, they hate him. They want him to be fired like Eagles hated Andy Reid.
Omar, you know what's crazy? There was this past offseason, there was the talk of, you know, Tomlin potentially getting fired. And I said, I will take him all day, every day, right? Yeah, it was a stupid thing that was out there. But I was like, sign me up. You know how many people told me, oh, I don't want that mediocre head coach. He hasn't done anything or won a playoff game in so many years. I'm like, are you out of your mind? Like,
yeah, this guy's never had a losing season. I'll take that since 2007, never had a losing season. I'll take that.
Ever had a losing season.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking.
Yeah.
By the way, can I interject?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Too? Just to be the contrarian here. John Gruden, in his last 7 years as a head coach, 6+, 13 games under 500. Why exactly would he be a slam dunk?
That's unfair. That's unfair. He was tasked to rebuild something where he was, and they stripped the whole roster.
He was 11-5 in 2005 in Tampa Bay, and then that's when the streak starts. 13 games under 500. So what was he tasked to rebuild?
Wait. Hold on. We're talking about the same person that was had the Raiders.
Had the Raiders, and he went to Tampa Bay with a ready-made team to win the Super Bowl.
Then in the last
7 years, he's 13 games under 500.
I thought he ended with the Raiders.
They went back to Oakland. Correct.
Yeah, but when he went back to Oakland, he did a lot of losing because he was tasked on a 10-year deal to wipe it all out and rebuild it. So
he drafted Derek Carr, right?
Yeah, I understand why they were losing that first round.
I don't know if he drafted Derek Carr. I think he inherited Derek Carr.
I think he inherited Derek Carr also.
Because, our former
picky
personnel is, whatever his name is.
They wanted him. They wanted him, supposedly, as the story goes, for the Dolphins in the second
round. Yes, no, that's true. Joe Philbin wanted to draft Derek Carr and somehow backed out of it. I can't remember what was it. What was the reason?
Was that the Tannehill year?
Yeah, the Tannehill years. It was early in Tannehill's tenure. And
it's like Tom Bratz, the director of college scouting, wanted to draft Drew Brees in 2001 and was overruled.
TD, back to what you said about Cam Smith, because I found a quote while I was scrolling through to think of the next topic. What Greer said was, we can't hold Cam Smith's hand waiting for him anymore. So I don't think
he has to step up.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean he's starting. We're not waiting for him anymore, is what they said. We can't hold his hand waiting for him anymore.
Imagine if I said that about a coworker. I can't hold Isaiah Small's hand waiting for him.
Wow.
I'm just saying, just the level of disrespect that is. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not somebody you're vouching for. Like, oh, this guy's ready to take that job. This guy's going to save my job. That's somebody who is here. He's just here.
He's also not wrong, though. He's also not wrong. The dude said nothing for the Dolphins. And that was their top pick because they didn't have a one in 2023. And this is part of the reason the Dolphins are in the spot they're in. They've had too many high picks who gotten them nothing.
Yep.
Not just that, but they've given away too many draft picks. Draft picks are young, cheap talent, and cheap labor. Mm-hmm. You trade draft picks for players that you have to give top five salaries to. It eats up your cap space. You've got eight players on your roster taking up 70% of your cap space. And then you got to fill it out with undrafted players or 30-year-old injured players. Like, come on, bro.
Except here's the thing. Sorry, Omar. And I wrote this on MiamiDolphinsOnSI.com. Cheap plug. That the blueprint the Dolphins had when they tore it down in 2019, if you look at all of the assets they accumulated, they had a great mix of premium draft picks. Then they went out and got the high-priced veterans, and they sprinkled in a couple of big-name free agents. As a blueprint, if you hit on more than you miss, that should get you to contention. Problem is, to me, like I wrote, the blueprint was fine. They just didn't have hit on enough.
Missed on more than they hit.
And they brought in some problematic players in certain areas.
I felt Greer was out of line a few times today in this presser, though.
Well, that's going to go into what I want to talk about. What's
on you, Doug?
The last thing we could talk about, and we'll start with you, TD. What's something that really popped out to you at today's presser?
Well, two things in particular. I felt like he was deflecting. He was like throwing a few jabs without throwing them about, you know, picks of the past. You know, deferring, saying that, you know, in the past, he kind of deferred a lot to coaches, you know, what they wanted in players. He kind of insinuated. And another thing I didn't like that he said, that I was like, are you kidding me? When he he was insinuating that. I'll get back to it. I'm trying to get my words.
Let me address that and you can get your thought together.
Because that first one.
That was my question. I've written about it. He knows about it. Steve Ross has addressed it with him. The whole organization. He is not a man of convictions. And he is not. And here's the thing. This is kind of my problem with the whole situation. Because I thought that was not a blame pointing. I thought that was a fingers pointing at me. I am, because he said this to me and he stands on this. And this has been since Mike Tannenbaum has been the GM. Since Mike Tannenbaum was there and he's been in the GM role. The draft, that's me. That's all me. I own it. All those picks are mine. Every single one of those picks, they go on my resume. This is quote for quote from Chris Greer. So I think what he's saying is I've had so many different coaches and so many different regimes and so many different coaches wanted so many different things. I always have to be accommodating to what they want, what they prefer, what they need. However, there comes a point where if there's a disagreement on a pick, I need to not defer and go with what this guy wants. I need to go with my gut. I need to go with my instincts And because ultimately I'm accountable. And in too many instances, I think he feels as if he has deferred and deflected. Like, I remember I wrote a story when he became the GM in 2016, talking to a lot of people who worked with him. And the main complaint or the main criticism was, I've been in a room with him for 10 years. He never has a conviction. Mm. He never is like on the table. This is my guy. But in instances, there have been times where we come down to the Minka Fitzpatrick draft.
Mm.
And that became a big fight over what to do, including the owner. And Chris Greer basically shut everybody up and said, we are doing this. This is the plan we came into the draft with. It's sitting right there. We're taking Minka Fitzpatrick, conversation over. So we can't sit here and say that he's never done it. The problem is that there are too many instances where he has let other people take the lead and has blown up in his face. So I think what he's saying is, I got to stick with my gut, my convictions, mm-hmm. my belief, because ultimately this is on my resume. This is me. This is my job.
But I agree with that, Omar. The problem that I have with him saying it in public, though, is almost like, now give me a few years and I'll show you what I do. Almost like buying time to me. That's kind of how I feel to have brought that out in public. And then the second thing, and then I'll be done with it. When he compared himself about, you know, we want to win because to get y'all off our back, right? Mm-hmm. When he said that, he said, but it's funny, you know, there's winning coaches and general managers out there and people call for them to be fired. Stop comparing yourself to them, though, because you're not a winning. That's not what's happening. You know, he's trying to compare himself to people that's at the top of organizations that have actually won Super Bowls and stuff. That's not you.
Can I chime in here?
Do it.
Here's the thing. And I would surmise and make the argument that his ability or willingness, however you want to call it, to either defer or bow to his coaches kind of played a role in him still being around after 25 years with the organization and all those years as a GM and all that. And particularly when you hear Stephen mm-hmm. Ross, what's the magic word that he used in that statement?
At collaboratively.
The end? I love mm-hmm. collaboration.
Always.
Well, he's the poster child for collaboration.
Yeah, so we're like criticizing him now for, and it's true, we are criticizing him, and so is Steve Ross, but we're criticizing for exactly what's put him in power.
And this is why I always say Chris Greer's ability to survive is second to none, because he's always in a position where even if a decision is made, it's almost like, I just personally feel like it's almost like he makes a decision, but he gets you to make it. That's kind of how I feel. Like it's, where is his, like, you talked about it though just now, Omar. You said that, well, I feel like he was owning it. Well, where's, you even said earlier he does have accountability, but where's the accountability of owning all of this stuff?
Oh, I think he's very accountable for owning.
Being accountable, where is his accountability?
What do you mean? Who is holding? I don't know how to answer that question, because I've always, you know, despite what people think, I think about Chris Greer, or despite what was said,
you hate him.
But, you know, I love the fact that he's always been accountable. He's always owned up to his mistakes. He's always been transparent and honest and candid. I can't tell you a moment where we've caught him in a lie. I think today may be a lie, because I don't know.
But he's okay with it.
Yeah, Daylon might not have asked you for a trade, but maybe his agent did. It's semantics. You know what I'm saying? The bottom line is, and this is probably where I fall into, and as I told you guys, I've said on Joe Rogan's show, I have really had to analyze myself whether or not I've been fair to him, because I've been highly critical of him, because I don't think he's very good at his job.
So back off.
He listens to the show.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Have I been fair? Because he's an easy mark right now, and he's the guy everybody, he said it himself. Everybody wants to be fired. Like, he knows it. Like this, like imagine you're in a town. You're responsible for the number one team. You can't even go to Publix without people looking at right? you. Like,
oh my God!
That damn Chris Garrett. Why he ain't fired yet?
Like, he gets a tender sub. There's a Band-Aid in it.
Sub in peace. Like, he can't even pump your gas. That's gotta be a hard existence. He acknowledges it,
the life of a general manager.
Well, here's the thing, Omar, because you said he never lied to us. No, I don't believe he's that flat out lied to us. He also knows very well how to use the words to kind of like dance around what he needs to dance around. And for example, when he's talking about Tyreek today, I hope everyone understands this. There's certain things he can't. There's no way he can rag on Tyreek if in the back of his mind that the Dolphins are thinking about trading him. The last thing they're going to do is dump on him publicly.
Hurt his value.
Exactly.
Two first-round picks.
Exactly.
You want him for first-round picks?
Oh, my.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, Alan.
Sir.
He didn't rule out a quarterback in the first round, though. He said he's not. No, Omar, you did that on Twitter. You put half the quote on Twitter. He put half the quote. He said, I don't plan on getting the quarterback in the first round because we have our starting quarterback, but I wouldn't rule it out. He said that at the end.
He did not say I wouldn't rule
it
out.
No. I have the quote. I have the exact quote. Hold on. I have the exact quote.
Thank you. Poopard.
I would, because it was my question. Okay.
And, yes, it was.
I asked it.
That's why we got you guys on the show, man. You guys
asked questions. Purely because Adam Schefter threw it out there. He goes, like, you're looking for a wild card team for Shedeur Sanders if he's available, the Miami Dolphins. So that's why I asked. The quote was, I would say we have our starting quarterback, so I wouldn't be looking to it. I never rule anything out.
All I had,
but I would not be looking to draft a quarterback in the first round. So,
and that is to get drafted.
I wouldn't rule it out. We're not ruling it out, Omar.
It's not happening.
Don't kill it, Poopar. Don't kill it.
If you didn't bring Shedeur in for a visit,
means nothing.
We already had a private workout with like three or four teams. Anyway. Wasn't the Dolphins.
All right.
So last thing, just so we can end it and I can get an answer and really troll people. We're talking about a collective, right? And how Chris Greer, you know, he doesn't really conviction. He's more what everyone wants to do. Did Brian Flores want to draft to Tuatagovailoa?
Here's y'all know I've gone to war on this.
Go ahead.
And there have been people at the owners meeting who came to me to clarify certain positions of my standpoint on that story, because I am not ever going to allow anybody to recreate history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If Brian Flores had ever told Chris Greer, I don't want to coach Tua, Tua wouldn't be here.
Thank you.
Now, did Brian Flores prefer Jordan Love? Absolutely. Did Brian Flores he wanted to take an offensive lineman? And then Jordan Love at 18. He did not want to coach Justin Herbert. So he sat there and they stacked the board and they had Tua over Herbert. This is fact. That wasn't the strategy that he wanted to go with. He wanted to go get Love, maybe even Hurts. I did not know that name. I did not hear the name, whatever. But he wanted to get an offensive lineman, can't remember which one, and then go get Love. But
probably worse.
Yeah, Tristan. That's who would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
But this whole narrative that Brian Flores probably didn't want Tua, because he was certainly mean to Tua from the very jump
at the combine. I remember that.
And it was some harsh. Right.
Didn't Tua come out of it like, what the hell? Like, he was like,
Omar was like this at Tua's press conference in Indy. like this.
On the podium,
there's a shot of Omar looking at
Flores. Wanted to know day one if he could take it.
That's all I'm hearing.
Pretty much, yeah. He's like, I'm gonna
be know day one. Can he take this
and treat you like garbage? Get ready, man.
Hey,
that's horrible. Yeah.
So you mean to tell me Flores wanted Tristan Wirfs and Jordan Love? Man, we would have been saved.
No, we wouldn't. He would have destroyed Jordan Love.
He would have probably traded Jordan Love for Deshaun Watson. So, it don't matter.
I don't think Flores would have had a problem with a quarterback who came in and worked tirelessly instead of being on the golf course and different stuff like that. I think he would have loved a quarterback that put the extra work in.
I tried to throw it in there so we can end the show, but he's just too good at what he does.
I mean, we went a whole show, Doug, without really talking about the real issue.
It's funny because you were questioning it,
and as you saw in the chat, some people don't want to believe it. So it is what it is. But I think that's a good way to end the show with a little spice. Yeah. You know, get them ready for next week. Got the draft coming up, so we'll be here Tuesday next week.
Unfortunately, we didn't get many draft questions in, Poupard. I'm kind of pissed. That's I feel like I need to have another draft. Need to have another. We went 30 minutes, and how many draft questions did we ask?
But that's for Tuesday. Hey. Tuesday, no Tua talk.
No, I'm talking about not us, to Greer.
Oh, yeah.
I asked two draft questions, actually.
Yeah.
That was a long
one.
A lot of Zach Wilson. I see Zach Wilson talking there.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, because we usually get Chris Greer at the combine, and we usually get him at the owners' meeting. And he did well. He was only available on the record. Well, let me just wipe that off.
You're in some more trouble.
I'm trying to be a good boy. I'm trying to behave myself.
You already hate Greer. That's enough. You know what?
I do not hate Greer.
Hey, the man referenced his wife's friend. You hate him. It's a fact. You need to stop that, Omar. That's our general manager, bro. We don't like that.
Let's get out of here. TD, where can everyone find you?
Listen, man, y'all can find me in the Atlantic on the yacht with Tua. We partying this offseason, baby. Y'all come back, training camp. We going to be ready. This is the winning season. Do not give up on this team. We're going to rebound. We're going to have a good draft and get some good injury-prone veterans right after. We good, baby. Let's go.
What's so funny? That's TD.
Never answered your question.
What you got going on?
Well, you can find me at Miami Herald. We have a new episode up on Dolphins in Depth podcast. Barry Jackson. I'm counseling frustrated Barry. And that's the thing. A lot of the elder statesmen of this beat, we've just been around.
Are you looking at me, Omar? Sorry.
Shots fired.
It's 25 years, man. 25 years. Of a dog chasing its tail, and you know we want better for this franchise, and hopefully they can eventually figure out a way off the mediocrity merry-go-round, as I call it.
Alan, what do you got going on?
A bunch of content every single solitary day on Miami Dolphins on SI.com.
Watch them tell you it's for free.
I don't have to now because Omar just said it. Again, it's for free. Lots of it. And then the All Dolphins podcast going regularly during the off season. Did a show today, going to have a show tomorrow. And I'm in the same boat. I see a lot of people on Twitter like are asking me questions in the mailbag. Will the Dolphins win a playoff game before I die? And I'm like,
probably not.
Man, we won the Super Bowl.
It's going to happen at some point.
You can find
it. You got to trust and believe in the next rebuild.
Doug, real quick, Omar, Poupard, good work today, though. Real talk. All jokes aside.
You guys killed it with the questions.
That was some good work today, man.
You can find me youtube.com/DougLeeDoWrong. You can find me on here, and you can find me everywhere with that crazy name I have. Alan asked me before we jumped in here. He was like, what is with the name? It's a weird name. But you also find us here Tuesday next week, and we're talking draft. Just draft, no Tua. You hear me? I'm getting a button.
Well, Johnson, I'm
in sounds to this board, and if you guys get out of line, since I'm the quarterback, I'm hitting the sounds on you.
Saints won two, dog. The Saints won two.
You're like Mike McDaniel. You're a softy.
I am. Too friendly with you guys. I can't. I can't do it. Can't do it.
Saints won two, dog. It's part of the draft, man. We got to talk.
All right. We will see you guys next week. Same time, same place.